The seventh Sunday of Easter, the first lesson is taken from Acts chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is taken from 1 John chapter 5. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe, God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Once again, I greet you in the glorious name of Jesus this morning. Today is a special day for more than one reason. Now, our lessons today show us, and we remember the ascension of our Lord 40 days after his resurrection from the dead, as recorded in Luke's book of Acts. And then, in our gospel lesson today, we find Jesus praying for his disciples, but he's also including us in that. And then, of course, today is Mother's Day, a day when we honor our mothers for what they've done to bring us into and to help us through this life. We know that God created mothers to bear children, right? Now, when a mother is with child for those 9 months, and the child is growing and developing in her, it's not the end of her service to God, is it? By God's design. Those 9 months are a preparation for the entire lifetime of the child. During those months, most mothers naturally are careful to make sure that they provide the best environment for the child to develop in. Watching their diet, going to get regular medical checkups, not doing dangerous things with them, with their bodies and so forth, not taking risks, because they know that this relatively short period of time can affect the child for its entire life. You see, mothers are already guiding their children to be the best they can be even before they're born. And then we, their children, have a limited time on this earth, as we know. But of greater importance is the time period we will have in our next life, because that time period will go on forever. And so when you think about it, the 9 months prior to birth is a time to prepare for our physical life. This physical life that we're all in right now is a time to prepare for our forever life with God. Just as God has given us mothers to prepare us for our physical birth, mothers are also meant to help us prepare for our next life as well. Let me ask you, are you a kind of a person that likes to do puzzles? You know, I know a lot of people that like to do puzzles of many different sorts. You know, puzzles are entertaining. They challenge us. We like challenges. They keep our minds sharp, right? Now, there's many types of puzzles, as we know, but one I want to focus on are mazes. Maybe you like to work mazes as a child. Maybe you still like to work different kinds of mazes. Now, most mazes are two-dimensional. They're written on a piece of paper, and you take a marker of some kind, and you trace through it, and sometimes you have to double back because you went the wrong way, and so forth. Mazes are challenging. They can be difficult to find a solution to. If you're the solver, you can't just jump over a line because that would make the solution not valid. But mazes can also be three-dimensional, and I'm sure we've seen plenty of those, you know, where you have walls and you walk through on a path and you try to find your physical way out of the maze or way to the goal. Walls can be made of any kind of material, bricks, hay, corn stalks, hedges. I've seen them where they're made out of mirrors at the funhouse and so forth like that. They can be very confusing. We've had mazes around for thousands of years. They used to be called labyrinths. Well, at some point in your life, you may have considered your life to be like a maze. You have a starting point, your birth. You have an ending point, your death. And in between, you have all these paths, all these ways you could go, all these twists and turns, all these intersections, all these dead ends, all these cutbacks and things like that in your life. So that our life is kind of like a maze too. Now, a writer by the name of Cyril Connolly said this. He said, "Life is a maze in which we take the wrong turn before we've learnt to walk." And that's true, isn't it? Human life became a maze when sin entered into God's perfect creation. So how do we navigate this life maze that we're in? Well, God knew that it was going to be difficult. God knew that it was going to be confusing for us. And so He provided help for our journey. Help in the form of His Son, Help him in the form of other people, like our mothers, like our fathers and other family members, like our church family, to help us through. He also gave us, you know, a form of an owner's manual, if you will, his holy word, the Bible. Now, the first human being that you had contact with was your mother, who was part of God's design to help us through this life maze. She was one of the first people to help you survive in this life. Diane, would you put that up? You see, the maze that we go through, and at some point in our life we might want to say, I want my mommy. And that's what mothers do. You know, I'm told that mothers, most mothers, on Mother's Day, what they want for a gift is 24 hours without having to keep someone else alive. And mothers know what I mean by that. And so today we do honor our mothers for having been with us from the very beginning of our lives. I mean, God even commanded that we honor our mothers and our fathers. In the fourth commandment from Deuteronomy 5, he said, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land your Lord your God is giving you. You see, that's the only commandment that has a promise attached to it, that you may live long and that it may go well with you. Billy Graham once said, I'm sure that one reason that the Lord has directed and safeguarded me through the years was the prayers of my mother and father. Hopefully, as you grew, your mother was one of those who shared her wisdom with you as to how you can navigate through this life maze. Hopefully, she, along with your father and other members of your family, told you about the Maze Master, Jesus, who points us in the right direction. No matter how far we are in the maze, no matter how far deep we have gone. You see, Jesus solved this puzzle many, many years ago. And he now opens the path for us to successfully navigate to our goal. He shows us the shortcuts. He protects us when we travel. Hopefully, you've had pastors and teachers and friends who have reinforced that wisdom by reading to you and getting you familiar with the owner's manual, the Bible, that our Creator has given us. Holy Scripture tells us about Jesus, and it provides an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to come into us, to give us faith in Jesus, to show us who He is. Notice in our first lesson today from Luke's book of Acts that Luke told us that prior to Jesus' ascension, Jesus came and gave His disciples more instruction. He opened their eyes. And then He said to them that they should wait for the power to come into them, which it would some 10 days later after He ascended into heaven. Those instructions, and combined with the Holy Spirit, spread the Word of God to every corner of this world. That Word has guided millions and millions and millions of people through this life maze. Without the Holy Word of God to guide us, we wouldn't be able to navigate this maze very well. We would be kind of like Isaiah described in the 59th chapter of his prophecy. He said, we look for light, but all is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Like the blind groping along the wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. At midday we stumble as if it were twilight. Among the strong we are like the dead. Can't you just picture that? People in a maze with no light, they're feeling their way through the maze with, you know, feeling the wall. That's not the way we want to travel, is it, folks? But with God's word guiding us, we have the light. Because in Psalm 119, it says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path." We have the light through God's word, but we also need someone to help us too, someone to be the light for us. And that someone is Jesus, the Word of God made flesh. He is also our light in the darkness of this worldly maze that we live. Jesus not only lights the way for us, he also removes the obstacles in our way. He intercedes for us. As we read in our gospel lesson today from John chapter 17. Now, at the time Jesus said this, he was getting ready to complete his ministry. He was getting ready to go to the cross. And he knew that, you know, without him being physically present with his disciples, that their lives would be confusing, their lives would be dangerous. And so he prayed for them, and by extension, he prays for us at the same time. Listen to what he says. "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me." Jesus protects us on our journey. If we ask him to. Now we know that God has given us free will, right? We know that we can go through this maze on our own. We know that when we come to an intersection and we have to make a decision, we can make whatever decision we want because we have free will. We don't have to follow his path. We don't have to listen to his helpers. We don't have to read and study the roadmap that gives us, you know, wisdom and guidance for our journey, his holy word. I mean, we do a whole lot of trial and error on our own, don't we? Like hitting the wall of a dead-end job or a broken relationship and having to back up and try another route. Like following a crowd that wants to show us the way, only to find that they're leading us down an alley, a dark alley that's filled with sin. Like listening to a false master who wants to guide us further in instead of showing us the way out. Like that feeling that we're wasting our lives and becoming angry and becoming frustrated because of it. Losing our joy, losing our peace along the way, and feeling like they're never going to get to the end successfully. Have you ever felt that way at times? Well, do we really want to be so arrogant that we ignore the creator of the maze and tell him that we know how to do it better? I mean, John wrote in our second lesson today from his first letter, chapter 5. He said, "We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts his testimony. Whoever does not believe, God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son." I don't think we want to be in that position where we're calling God a liar because we're not believing the testimony that he gave about his Son. Why would we not believe in Jesus? Why would we not want his help? Jesus loves us. He has our best interest at heart. He showed that on the cross. Jesus wants us to make it through this life maze as simply and as pain-free as possible. He wants us to experience the abundance of all the blessings that he has in store for us, blessings that we can't even imagine. He wants us to have that joy. He wants us to have that peace. He wants us to have an amazing life. But even more than that, he wants to have a more amazing life with him eternally. So why don't we receive those blessings? It's because we try to go it alone, and then we get into trouble. It's because we don't allow him to come alongside us, to guide us around and through those rough patches. Jesus will come alongside us. Jesus will guide us if we allow him to. Of course, our goal is not just to have an easy life and then we die. Our goal, in the end, is to strive to be on the path that leads us to eternal life. The end that we strive for is heaven, where all confusion, all dead ends, all cutbacks, all disappointments, all hurts end. Any other path leads us to eternal destruction. Now, along the way, we're going to see our fellow humans, people that are journeying, people that are lost in this maze of life, too. Should we help them out? Well, yes, of course we should. Because just as others were placed here to help us out, we are placed here to help other people out, too. We were created to be one of God's helpers in this life maze. Believers like you and I are part of the body of Christ. And as part of the body of Christ, we should be ready and willing and able to help other people navigate through this maze too. We have the responsibility to help other people get to their goal, get to the same goal that we're going to. So, what's our takeaway today? Our takeaway is that we're not alone in this. God has given us all that we need to navigate this maze of life. We have our family. We have God's holy word. We have God's only son. And if we cling to Jesus as our guide, as John said in our second lesson today, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Jesus stays with us through his Holy Spirit. He stays with us to help us so that we can make it through this maze. Jesus wants us to have an amazing life with him. And so, therefore, we are grateful to him for loving us so much that he wants us to succeed. We're thankful to him for giving us the guides, the helpers that he's given us. We're thankful to him for giving us his holy word. We're thankful to him for giving us his Holy Spirit. We're thankful to him for giving us other Christian believers to help us along our way. We're thankful to him for giving us mothers. And so we pray. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for our mothers. We thank you for all of the helpers that you've put in our way, put in our path, and given us so that we can have an amazing life. Amen.